Okay. Okay.
Oh, wow. The most recent. It's not 653, I think. What?
The Mount Pleasant Advisory Neighborhood Commission would like to welcome our neighbors and to its monthly business meeting on today, October the 20th, 2009. At 7:05. I always look to you, and I would like to observe a quorum of Secretary Treasurer Jack McKay, Phil Lepanto, Dave Bosserman, Oliver Tunda, and myself as vice chair, operating as chair because our chair just had a family emergency and will not be able to attend at least the early part of the meeting. If it pleases the commission, then it seems to me that we should move immediately into our open discussion between neighbors and the commission. And we typically do this on a systematic basis so that those who are unlucky to sit in the to their upper right-hand corner of the room, we'll start first and we'll pass the mic along. The rules are that if you are an individual, well, then you get 3 minutes. If you come with a letter authorizing you from an established civic group, or then you're allowed 5 minutes. And we ask that you treat the microphone like you were a pop star and you speak into it just like this. Yeah, something that I ask my friends in the audience to remind me to do because I often forget. We also ask that you start off identifying yourself with your full name.
Hi, I'm Danielle Diamond. I go to American University. I'm here to observe this meeting. I'm doing a senior thesis on Mount Pleasant, and I'm trying to find the assets and beauties of the community to write a paper on the development of Mount Pleasant. So if you would like to talk to me or contact me in some way to help me with my thesis, if you have any insights into the beauties of Mount Pleasant, I would be greatly appreciated. Please contact me afterwards or talk to me if you would like to assist me in this endeavor. Thank you.
Let me observe that the names, addresses, and phone numbers of all the commissioners are published on our website, anc1d.org, and for people that wish to speak to commissioners, you may do so. There's also a map to help you identify in whose district you reside or work. Jack,
would it be very rude of me to point out that when I clicked on commissioners on your website this morning, I got a page not found response?
It would be very helpful. I wish you had told me earlier so I could have fixed it. But there were other things afoot.
Hi, I'm Barbara Hayden. I live in the 1800 block of Lamont Street. I've been in the neighborhood 25 or more years, and I was never aware of the ANC until the last 4 years. So if you're new to the ANC meetings, you're not unusual. This is the unit of democracy in the city, right here. And all of these people are volunteers, and I thank them very much. Amen.
May I ask that Dave Baca give us a two-minute report from the council since you're here. Would you return the mic to the front so that I can nail David Vaca?
You're very kind. I'm David Vaca. I'm here to observe from Councilmember Jim Graham's office. I don't really have any particularly exciting news to report at this time. The next legislative event we have scheduled is for October 26th, when we will be holding confirmation roundtables for new directors for WASA.
And I believe also big news is that Councilmember Graham has agreed to transfer the oversight of the Taxi Cab Commission.
Yes, longer process than anticipated because it was hard to find somebody who would take on that responsibility. But Michael Brown has stepped in on an interim basis.
Good. Jack.
I want to remind the chair once again to speak into the microphone, please.
You see,
and
my friends
yes.
Help me.
And I wish to remind everyone that we are having a simultaneous interpretation being done. So take your time. Let's try to be merciful to the young lady.
The translator or interpreter.
No, she's an interpreter.
An interpreter.
Translation is the written word. Interpreting is the spoken word.
We have differences of opinion amongst the commissioners. Gottlieb Simon is the executive director of the Office of ANCs. Is there any news from ANC Central?
Good evening. The major news, I suppose, would be the budget news that was transmitted to the ANCs about 10 days ago. Like the rest of the government, the ANCs will experience a budget cut in 2010, although it is not a large one, 7.7%, and is not likely to impinge to any significant extent on the Mount Pleasant ANC, I don't believe.
We're small. We feel it. As you can see...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. I'll be a complete target. My name is Gottlieb Simon. First name is Gottlieb. My last name is Simon. I'm executive director of what's called the Office of Advisory Neighborhood Commissions, and the mission of my office is to provide assistance to each of the 37 advisory neighborhood commissions. And in that capacity, we transmitted information about the 2010 budget to all of the ANCs. And I indicated that this ANC, like each of the others and like most of the rest of the government, will experience a budget cut in 2010, although I don't anticipate that it will have a significant impact upon the ability of the Mount Pleasant ANC to carry out its activities in the coming year.
Sure. Jack, may I ask you to give a rough estimate of what this means for us? Gottlieb cannot be expected to carry around 37 figures in his head.
I have it displayed right here. That is our allocation. Last year it was $17,526. This year will be $16,175. That's the amount of our cut.
So you can see that I'm trying to establish, and I ask your participation, that everybody that has news or something interesting to say or an issue that you've been thinking about to at least mention it before moving on, where we really want this to be a public discussion. Who is next in line? There.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Maria Ramos. I'm from El Salvador. I am the owner to El Progreso Market.
Yes.
3158 Mount Pleasant. I own it for years in this area, and I like the neighborhood. I live in Maryland for 25 years. But I like it here too, and you know, I have my store here. I'm very happy with all my customers. I have like Spanish people and American people. And I'm very happy, and that's why I'm here, and I have something to. I have it, you know, if you know the owners to the Super Safe.
I did.
Okay. He wants to transfer the license for the beer and wines. ABC license. And that's why we want to, you know, to propose.
Jack and I, with the help of Juan Carlos Ruiz, who conveyed information to me quite recently. And we have have formulated a resolution. Here we go. But there were still some questions that we were unclear of, and perhaps in your 3-minute slot you can help us with are you taking over the new space as well?
No.
Just the license.
Yes, the license.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We may need to make some amendations because we were unclear.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you would like to say? As part of this, are you going to have new policies or going to have store specials?
No.
Okay. Phil?
Could you explain why you need to transfer the license? I assume you already have a license for selling alcohol or wine.
No. The store used to have it a long time ago, you know, for the...
I think it's more
the 15 years. You know, they closed the Super Safe, and the owners, he told me if I want the license, you know, that's why he wants to. I already paid, you know, for this year, because from last year, he's, you know, he closed like more than 1 year, the store, you know. But he continued to, you know, to pay for the license. And that's why he told me if I, you know, want to have the license, he can transfer to me. And we already have all the papers.
Good. So hopefully our resolution will help you. Thank you so much for helping sustain the model of that we're really having a discussion.
I am Jean Campos. I am a linguist. I like to consider Mount Pleasant as my beloved neighborhood. I spent more than 20 years in this place. I serve at Sacred Heart, and I work at Our Lady Queen of the Americas. So I am working with Mrs. Santos, Mrs. Ramos, to follow up on the ABC proceeding.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Do you have any issues that you would like that concern you about Mount Pleasant?
No.
Well, you're practically the only one. thank you so much for speaking.
Yeah, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Juan Carlos Ruiz, and I am a spokesperson for the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant. I want to thank you, the commissioners, for this meeting. I think we have done a lot of previous work to come to this meeting today, so thank you so very much. I want to thank you for the translation equipment and the services that we provide for our community members. They are coming to the meetings constantly now. I want to make a quick announcement. The office of Councilman Jim Graham has agreed to have a community meeting with the Latino Association on Saturday, October 31st at 3 o'clock p.m. The Latino Association has about 150 to 180 residents that are committed to come for that event. We're hoping to get about 200, and we're going to be sending out to you the list of, we're going to build upon the list of issues that we sent out in the last month meeting, I believe it was. And we're hoping to address an array of issues from the expansion of the library, parking, transportation, traffic signs, harassment from police officers, harassment from parking checkers. Talk a little bit about affordable housing and the commitment to that. And we are going to also start looking at and asking of what type of possibilities we have to increase more funding for the development in the Mount Pleasant or the Mount Pleasant corridor. So there's an invitation to all of you to come and participate. We will definitely send the agenda ahead of time of the event. We're hoping to have it, to have the meeting outside in the Lamont Park, and we're trying to make some logistics arrangements for that. The library is closed. The library is being used that day, and we might need to use a backup, and that will be the school. Commissioner? No, Bell School, sorry. So that's just an information for them.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Martin Iraeta. I live in area for two to three years, something like that. Yo pertenezco al a la Asociación Latina.
Adelante
de
Latino Association.
Latino Association. Estamos reuniendo referente para ver trabajar todos con la comunidad.
Okay. Also silences me.
We are getting together to work to, we are in the Latino Association, we are getting together so we can work together with the community as a whole.
También estábamos pidiendo a Jim Graham el asunto del abuso policial, que es demasiado lo que la policía anda haciendo, el asunto de las personas que andan poniendo tickets.
We are also asking the Councilman Graham to deal with the issues about police harassment and the people that are giving us tickets.
Nada menos ayer, se lo voy a decir para que todo el mundo se dé cuenta lo que está haciendo esta señora, tiene el nombre de la persona.
I just want to let you know what's going on yesterday, what happened yesterday, and the abuses that this woman is committing against us.
El muchacho estaba, solo se bajó la señora a comprar un café, ya la estaba esperando, y le puso $130 de ticket por menos de 5 minutos. El señor se iba a mover y se le puso adelante para que no se saliera del parqueo para poner el ticket.
A gentleman was parked en ¿dónde estaba parqueado?
Enfrente al 7-Eleven, al otro lado.
Estaba parked en Canyon Street. And his wife came out to have a cup of coffee. He was in the car with the car running, waiting for her wife to come out with a cup of coffee. And this woman with the parking checker came in front of the car, put her car in front of him so he could not leave, and give him a ticket, give him two tickets.
Uno de $100 y otro de 130.
One ticket of $100 and one for $130.
Yeah. En 5 minutos. Dice, this is un abuso.
He was less than 5 minutes in there, just waiting for his wife. I feel that this is an abuse.
Sí, y estamos también reuniendo, le hemos pedido referente al parquecito este que está ahí por 7-Eleven, porque a ver si se puede hacer un parque como el de la Lemon, porque en lugar de estar aquí sentado, poder unas mesas ahí, estar el café o poder ir a leer un libro, cualquier cosa, uno.
So we have also, just to be aware, we have also asked Councilman Graham to help us to explore what is the situation with that area next to the 7-Eleven with that fences around. Because if there's a public space, we can perhaps open that space and put some chairs there so people can sit down and read a book, especially the libraries can come here. They can read a book and they can drink your coffee, read a book, and do something creative in that area instead of just standing out and that's it.
Porque ya haciendo eso, tal vez los evitaríamos del problema de estar discutiendo con la policía o porque uno vendría, a veces nosotros venimos ahí a estar tomando café o a estar leyendo, a estar platicando y lo evitaríamos del problema con la policía. Fuera buena idea que estamos pensando los del Latino Association a ver si se puede hacer eso.
We think it would be a great idea, a solution to that problem, see we can open the park so we can, because we come there to talk, to have a coffee, to read, just to chat among us and to talk about among us and share some time together, and that can avoid from the police coming at us and harassing us because we are in the streets, and right, and there could be put some order into it.
Es lo último que les voy a decir para ver que ustedes, a ver qué solución se les puede dar, encontrar eso, si el caso se puede hacer eso.
And that's the last thing I wanted to share, because we are really trying to be creative and finding a solution to the problems that we are facing here.
Phil.
Thank you. Juan Carlos, could you... May have to translate here. The question that I had is, could you possibly scan the copies of those tickets and send them to me or perhaps the commission as a whole? Those tickets should have the name of the officer on them, and that is such an egregious violation that I definitely want to get to the bottom of this. This is, I mean, I've never heard that an operational motor vehicle with the licensed operator in it getting a parking ticket. I mean, my understanding is as long as the driver is in the car, it's considered driving.
I have the name, and I have it in my suit. I don't have it with me. But we have the name of the person. He took the plate, the plate's number, and so we are recopilating a lot of things, and we will, if we cannot provide you the ticket, we will at least we'll provide you the name, the time of the incident, the officer that did the abuse. Okay. What was the scenario?
I think Oliver's hand was up first.
I have a quick question here, because the gentleman who spoke said there has been police harassment. Is this police harassment systematic or just random? Or are the police targeting Latinos, or is it, or are they targeting everybody who stands around there?
La pregunta es si solamente lo hacen con los latinos o hace con todo el mundo.
Solo con los hispanos.
We can see that it's only with the Hispanics. In regards to the police officer, it's only against Hispanics that we have experience, and we have even saw him asking for documents. Just to be clear, because this can be very, very... So there's two types of harassment. One by the parking checkers, which is that he started to share with, and the second one is by the police officers. And the parking checkers, this also targeted mostly to Hispanics, as we see happening. So people in the cars, or people running and say, hey, there are different incidents that we need to give you a report. From the police point of view, also there are reports about a Latino police officer, an African-American police officer that has been harassing us. And in one incident, the police officer was asking for documents for residency documents, immigration documents to the folks in the corner.
Jack.
If you can, if you still have those tickets, I would still like to make a scan of them. If you can lend them to me, I will scan them for our records. I understand that the first tickets were from one of the parking enforcement people, which is, those are not police, those are public works people. For the police, I suggest that you attend the PSA meeting, the police service area meeting, which will be a week from today right here, and bring your complaints to Lieutenant Vines.
Thank you.
I'd like to clarify some process issues. The ANCs are set up not to do direct constituent services, although many commissioners do that. Our legal remit, and I'm saying this to take advantage of the long expertise of Gottlieb Simon, is that we are supposed to monitor and comment on the delivery of services. That's one of the three things that we have a specific remit for. The others are to respond to plans and from the various agencies and proposals. The third is to initiate proposals for changes in the government policies. To implement the first, you can come here and speak and in a Q&A, but that has not often got resolutions put in and followed through. For that, there are two basic ways. One is to talk with your commissioner, as I said, the list is on the website. And the second is that I personally, as part of trying to get an open agenda process going, have committed to any established civic group here that if they formulate a resolution, well, then I will work with them to introduce it to the commission. And I believe other commissioners do the same thing. So that then once it is submitted and we ask that it be done 9 days in advance in an emergency, and we have a lot of those, it doesn't happen. So this public discussion is not to get the way that it works. It seldom does it work to get an item on our agenda. But there are these other processes that you can use. And if there are any questions on that or comments, perhaps we could take it, because in order to make the ANC work, we must do it in, we're six volunteers, unpaid, and part-time work, and it's just impossible for us to do all the work, so we must find volunteers and to work with various civic groups. For instance, the Latino Association, where we're developing this, where we have introduced a fair number of resolutions by working with them. Are there any discussion or questions about this? Gottlieb, have I made blundered?
You did very well.
Okay, thank you. Now we move on to the next person.
Hi, Larry Schmidt, just a new resident of Mount Pleasant, here to observe.
Oh, Larry Schmidt, would you give us at least 30 seconds of observations? Okay, Jack.
Question for Mr. Schmidt. Where do you live?
On Ingleside Terrace.
Oh, then you're one of mine. Yes.
Where is it? On Ingleside Terrace.
Evelyn Brewster. I'm with the 3150 16th Street Residents Association. I'm also a member of the Latino Association, and I am a member of various groups in the neighborhood. I am here so because I want to help make Mount Pleasant be even better than it is and to help bring the small area plan into fruition. And I want to say one word about the ticket harassment. I believe it's one particular person, and she harasses everybody. She will stand in front of your car when your car is running. She will put her body in front of you so that you can't move your car. She will give you a ticket. If you run into Don Juan's to pick up a carryout and you leave your car running at the bus stop and it's clear that you're just picking up a carryout, you pick up a $3 meal, you get a $50 ticket. That hurts our businesses. And so if we could resolve that immediately, my son got a ticket standing in front of my building talking to me, and she came up and gave him a ticket without giving him the opportunity to move his car. So I just want to reinforce that that is happening to all of us.
Thank you.
Oh, Jack, sorry.
We had a problem of that sort. A woman, parking enforcement aid officer, who was a shark. She ticketed cars for protruding 3 inches beyond the new parking post. Yes, please. I need to know if this is the same person. That's why I would like to see these tickets and find out if this is the same person. I got her out of our neighborhood, but I don't know where she went.
The name of the officer, the name of the officer.
Please use the mic.
The name of the officer is Officer Barnes, BSN Boy, A-R-N-E-S.
Is that the one, Jack? No, okay. But he was saying that he was able to convince the city to reassign someone. So, good. We're learning to work together. It's going to take a little while for us to get this together. But I think we should move on to the next person.
I'm Faye Armstrong, Historic Mount Pleasant.
Silence, please. Please respect.
Faye Armstrong, Historic Mount Pleasant. I'm here, and Mark Moen is next to me from Brown Street Project. The big issue on Brown Street has been what I'm going to call the 60-40 rule. This was the only thing we really discussed with the original architect, our own Saskia von Groningen, a couple of years ago, when she brought us a proposal to renovate and greatly expand these two projects to something that looked like 80% lot occupancy on the drawings that she brought us a couple of years ago. And we said, our dear Saskia, and of course she was our committee chairman for many years, we were all friends with her, and we said, we don't think you can do this. You've got to go and resolve this zoning issue, you know, first. And then we'll see, then we'll discuss the design issues after we determine what lot occupancy is you're entitled to seek to utilize here. And I don't know what happened with Saskia. She didn't follow up with us. But anyway, we come back, and Jack finally gave me last week, or whenever, just a few days ago, the zoning letter that was issued to her in March of this year. And I had, because I was doing other research on building permits, I have spent, I had already pulled some building permits on this property. I've been down there doing that again yesterday at the Martin Luther King Library. It has a very difficult history. One side was built in 1904. They pulled a permit in 1924 to build two triplexes, which would have been apartments prior to the year 1958. Which would then have held them at 40% lot occupancy. But then when I went back yesterday, I found that that permit was never acted upon. And it was then rescinded, and they went back in 1928 and got another permit for the second property, which was a single-family residence. So it's my conclusion that we're not faced with a 1636 Irving kind of problem here, that there is, under our rather screwy zoning code, the legal opportunity to expand to 60% lot occupancy, which a lot of us think is not desirable for the neighborhood, but it looks like it is, in fact, consistent with the 1958 zoning code. I have the building permits in my little portfolio here if anyone's interested in looking at them. There's some issues with the design of the exterior, which have been addressed now in the staff report. Tim today has made some good points about the design of the exterior. I think from our standpoint here in Historic Mount Pleasant, where the principal concern is the facade, the front elevation, there are three primary issues. Visibility of the third floor that's going to be added, for which it seems that they have presented the proper sight lines and documentation to demonstrate that it would not be visible from either across the street on Brown Street or down the hill at 16th Street. That's the biggest issue. Then there's some technical issues about the nature of the replacement windows, which I think Tim's report addresses correctly. And then there's the question of whether the front porch should put a roof on it. It seems that that front porch was built in 1924 when the second house was built. It would appear that the front porch has never had a roof. That roof would stick out in front of other roofs on the front porches along the street. It would continue to crowd the street. I'm going to speak against it at HPRB on Thursday, and it'll be up to the board to see what they want to do about it. But as I said, the big issue is the 60-40 rule, which seems to be the documentation seems to be there that this was not an apartment building prior to 1958. I'm happy to take any questions.
I'm Mark.
No, excuse, sorry. Please. We after people raise an issue, then we ask if the commissioners. This is a discussion.
I was a little overzealous.
No. So Jack McKay.
Just for the purpose of translation, what does the 60-40?
Okay, I will explain just that. Because first of all, the issue on 1636 Irving was the requirement for 900 square feet of lot area per unit. That was the regulation that was violated on Irving. That is not at issue here. What is this issue here is whether the lot coverage limit is 40% or 60%. That is to say, can a building cover 40% of the lot, or can it be expanded to cover 60% of the lot? And that, quite simply, and that is something for lawyers to sort out. It's beyond our pay grade. It's not something that we have any influence over. So I would not care to, I don't think there's any point in pursuing that here.
Any other commissioners? Okay. Then thank you, Faye, for all your research. Moving on to the... you could stand up if you wish to have greater visibility.
I apologize to the chair. I'm the contractor for the same project Faye was just talking about on Brown Street. I pamphleted the street with a description that's more or less like the presentation. This looks like the presentation, front and back. And so if anyone showed up, I'll be taking questions, I suppose, but from anyone in the audience or on the board that wants to take it up. I think we're going to request that the board not take a stand on it, though.
The commission.
I'm sorry. I'm actually standing in for our architect who's sick in bed, so I might not use the right terminology. But I guess when my turn comes up, we'll delve into it a little bit deeper.
This is your turn.
Oh, okay. I think I. I think the I said pretty much everything I had to say. If anyone has any questions, you're welcome to ask.
That's not your prerogative. It's the chair's prerogative.
Okay.
Do any of the commissioners have questions or comments on this? Jack.
Just briefly. I think the Historic Preservation Office and Historic Mount Pleasant are doing just fine with this issue, and I'm going to argue that the ANC should let them handle it. We have enough to do without worrying about the architectural niceties of this particular building.
Oliver, it's in your district.
This building is my district, and I think I'll quite agree with what Jack McCain is saying, that we shouldn't really get entangled into it and leave it to the persons who are dealing with it. The ANC should actually keep distance from it. That's what I think.
If I could...
No, I have a comment, too, which then perhaps the commission will give you another slice of time. It's not mine to give. My comments are twofold. One is that I have a letter, an email from yesterday from one of my neighbors, a resident that I know, that lives a few doors down, and he says that he has consulted with his neighbors, and there was no consultation with the neighbors. Secondly, and I remember making that point with you at our last monthly meeting, that this was something that we essentially it's our policy to ask that this be done. Secondly, we did not get the plans within 2 weeks ahead, and a full description of what was going on, and that, as I recall, is our policy. And it's a policy that I conveyed to your team, and it was not honored. So I hope that you will help, and everyone here will help spread the word that to please respect the ANC and the neighbors by giving them notice and consulting with them well in advance of your plans. This has been going on for 2 years, and to fulfill the policy so that this commission can operate well. Will the commission, Phil?
I'm going to agree with Jack that we not take a particular stand on this issue, and we let it play out at HPRB. Just for the record, though, would you tell the gentleman here what the address is of your friend and the friends that he spoke with? I believe he said he made an effort to pamphlet the street. And I think if he missed a few houses, he'd like to know so he can go talk to your friend.
Juan Carlos.
I just have a question. Before you vote, I just, for the purpose of learning.
Sorry, for the purpose of us learning and learning in the process, so has the commission has a tradition that they do not make a position when a historic preservation issue is being raised and a new development?
I'm
just looking for being a standard in our actions. That's,
we have different opinions, but Jack is quite knowledgeable on this.
Most historic preservation issues pass through here without our involvement. It's the exception to have one come to us and then require our input. Let me suggest, I sense that there is a majority here in favor of not addressing the Brown Street issue. If that is the case, we can agree to that now, then perhaps these folks can go home and do something constructive with the remainder of the evening.
Sure. Even I was going to suggest that as a matter of policy, when when proposers do not respect us and the neighbors by more than leafleting, but also by discussions, as we require, as we emphasized in the recent DEC issue that was quite contentious, where we demanded that that occur, and I think it should occur generally, that we then, that the time be restricted to the 3 minutes that we have, because we should not necessarily devour all of our time. We have other issues. To answer Phil's request, I forwarded the email of the person to the commission, and it was his choice not to put his phone number and address on it. He happens to be the chair of Always Mount Pleasant and is a political activist, primarily in lower income housing, and he is quite involved in his, with his neighbors, and I believe him when he says that he talked with a lot of them, and there was no real participation in this. But let me take Jack's. May I consider, Jack, that you have made a motion, and that given the strong seems unanimity here.
The motion is not to consider the Brown Street matter resolution.
Okay, and do I hear a second?
You know, you don't really need a motion for this.
Okay, well, still, it gives a niceness to the thing. Oliver, would you second his? You essentially did.
Yeah.
Okay, so all in favor of that we... It is, I'll announce the vote, it is 5-0. So this matter, for today at least, is at an end. Perhaps another month, another time, someone will raise another issue. Would you please pass the microphone?
I don't get to defend my honor on this.
You can do so with me later.
I rang every single doorbell up and down that street. The only mailbox that didn't get a pamphlet was behind the security door. And I resent the fact that you would accuse me in public of lying. And I also resent the fact that you said I didn't get you those plans before 2 weeks ago when I brought them a month ago. And the plans haven't changed. They're still the same plans.
Then I was misinformed on the second point. And I did not accuse you of lying. And I think I would ask you to be very careful about your charges. Is there someone else that would like to speak?
Buenas noches. Mi nombre es Otoniel Paz.
My name is Otoniel Paz.
Formo parte de Latino Asociación Latino de la Manplaza.
I am part of the Latino Association Manplaza.
No vivo exactamente en este lugar, pero mantengo casi todo el tiempo aquí.
I am the only one who doesn't live in this area, but I spend all my time here.
Es importante ponerle cuidado respecto a lo de parquímetro, regresando al caso del parquímetro y los policías.
It's very important to put attention to the parking checkers and the police harassment.
Además, no sé si la misión de ellos sacar a la comunidad latina o no sé directamente, pero eso casi es el análisis que hacemos nosotros en la comunidad.
We don't know if what their intentions are, that they want to kick us out of here or not, but some of us in the community are feeling that way.
Porque cada día que pasa, los compradores para nuestros comerciantes latinos ya no quieren venir, porque nomás parquean el carro y les ponen ticket.
Because now every day that's going by, the consumers don't want to come to Mount Pleasant anymore because they put their car there and they get a ticket and it's not worth it.
Entonces, bueno, yo los invito a que ustedes nos ayuden a aclarar esos casos con los policías, el maltrato de la policía hacia la población civil.
So we really, I would like to ask you to help us in an initiative to stop this type of harassment and the misbehave against the community as a whole.
Porque nada nos sirve que nos digan que nos quieren, que queremos la comunidad multicultural, pero están actuando de una manera errónea.
Because it's not good, that doesn't make sense. Some folks say we want you here, we love you here, we want a multicultural diverse, and diversity area. But we are not stopping this type of behaviors, and I see you guys are willing to do that.
Okay, gracias.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that we missed in the public for that wants their 3 minutes now? Is that a hand? Oh.
Buenas noches. Mi nombre es Alberto Ferrufino.
Good evening. My name is Alberto Ferrufino.
Si quieres lo digo en inglés. Okay. I'm the owner of Don Juan. I'm also part of the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant. And I want to be very clear, you know, this lady for the parking enforcement ticket, I think not just me, everybody should write praise because she do so enforcement to everybody. Actually, last week I was putting quarters in the parking meter, and she told me before I get there to put in quarters, she already seen the meter was blinking. But she's not there, she's just driving around. But as soon as I get there and put a quarter, she's coming and I say, I'm lucky because I'm going to put a quarter before you come because I just go get a quarter from inside to come back and put it in the middle. But she said, no, you're not lucky because I'm going to still give you the ticket. I said, why? Because I have a 40 minute in the parking meter when she's coming. He said, no, but when I'm driving around, I see the meter was blinking. And I said, nothing matter, I'm put a quarter because I'm just parking and you go get a quarter. And she said, well, I don't have nothing to discuss with you. If you want to discuss the ticket and the middle is the number, go to the hearing, and then you see if you can win. Also, in the other parking next to the other one I have, I put a 3/4. It's not working. And I have another ticket in front of me. She gave it to in my hand, and I tell her that the middle is not working. I say, it's not my fault. I come here to give a ticket to everybody. Not to discuss with you if the meter is working or not. You want to discuss this, go to downtown. And you don't want to go to downtown because the thing is when you go to downtown, you know the lady one time I go because the parking meter is not working. The judge told me, well, I will go to check the parking meter. But the thing is, it's incredible. Everybody can think we can lie, we do lie or whatever. But sometimes you put it one time, the meter is working. But sometimes you put a quarter, meter's not working. One time I put a 4/4, and I tried to leave it because it was not working in the middle. But when I put a diamond, it's going to take 6 or 8 minutes. So it's ridiculous. I don't know how the city wants to take the money from our package. No matter what they got to do, but they're trying to get the money from us for the different wages. And the lady, I want to confirm the name, is Officer A. Barner. It's the same lady. What she do with me maybe about $700 a month to buy tickets. And the thing is, you know, she don't care. She using the car waiting for parking, she go in front of your car and start writing the ticket. And you say, I'm going to move it. You say, you cannot move it because here no safe parking for 2 minutes, no safe parking for 5 minutes. Say, don't stand there or parking any time. So you got to keep it going until you find, this is what you told me, until you find a parking. So we got to do something with this lady, because this lady put too many tickets she's giving us in Mount Pleasant, so she don't have to go in another place. She's going around, block by block, just in Mount Pleasant. She's going for whole day around. And it's too late. It's almost the same, but Mr. Barnett is the one lady is abused, I think, too much the law. That's it. Thank you.
Phil.
I'm really pleased that you guys have brought this issue to our attention, and I, for one, am going to look into it personally. I will say, however, and this is a conversation I've had with a couple people, we need to make a distinction between harassment and abusive enforcement and enforcing the law as it stands. I'm not trying to defend anybody here, and I'm not an expert on this issue, but we need to be clear that we cannot advocate in any way that employees of the District of Columbia not enforce the laws as written. So if you are parking illegally, you ought to get a ticket. Now, we can all understand and appreciate when you're not parking illegally, or you're only there for a few minutes, or you're parked legally and she blocks you from leaving and writes a ticket. That is egregious, that is abusive, that is harassment, and that has got to stop. But I just want to be clear that illegal parking has to be ticketed.
Any other commissioners? Not seeing any. Then I think it's, I observe that it's 7:59, and it's time for us to move on to the next portion of our meeting, which starts off with the Secretary's report.
Okay, to begin with, I would appreciate acceptance and approval of the minutes of the October 6th meeting.
Are there any objections or changes? Seeing none, the Chair notes acclamation for this request.
Thank you. Concerning the matter of an agenda, I can understand the unhappiness of people in being unable to know ahead of time what topics will come up at a meeting. And I have made a practice for some time of posting these notes that you see here on the Mount Pleasant Forum as topics come in. In this case, they were posted first on the 11th with seven topics listed, then on the 14th with 11 topics, then on the 17th with 13 topics, so that people following this can see the topics as they come in. It's apparent that I need to do a better job of disseminating these notes to the public. Some people don't go to the Mount Pleasant Forum, aren't familiar with Mount Pleasant Forum. They really ought to be accessible via the ANC1D website. So Greg and I worked out today a means of doing that. Namely, I will post these notes on my website. Greg will have a link from the ANC1D site to mine, so that one will be able to access these notes directly from the ANC1D site, and then I will be free to maintain these notes up to date. I think that will be an improvement in our mechanism for telling the public what topics we will be dealing with at forthcoming meetings.
Would you, I know you're in the midst of your report, would you allow us to stop for questions?
Of course.
Dave Bossman.
I recall that last time we approved the attempt, at least, at installing bulletin boards at several places in Mount Pleasant. So people that don't use computers can always go to those bulletin boards once they're established.
That's supplemental. If I may make a comment, it's been 2 years, but I did a fairly extensive survey of my immediate neighbors and constituents. At that time, only 30% of them had substantial access to the internet. So it appears that in I've seen estimates that in Western Mount Pleasant and what I call the garden zone, the single family houses. That
I object to that term garden zone. If you're going to use that, I'll call you sir every time.
Okay. Yeah, I look for the R4 zone. Is that, that's a legal designation.
Yeah, I have a side yard, a front yard, and a backyard. They may or may not have gardens in them.
Well, the R4 zone seems to have much more. Is there any other commentary?
I think it would be perfectly appropriate to post paper copies of my notes around the neighborhood once locations are made available for doing that.
Okay. And perhaps we can give a priority to considering that resolution immediately afterwards. I think there's probably a good deal of consensus for that expenditure to set them up.
And that concludes the Secretary's report.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Okay, this is, we're required to do a budget for the fiscal year. So, and we were required, first of all, to present that to the public at one meeting and then accept it at a following meeting. And the clock says that this is our time for presenting this to the public. At the November meeting will be our opportunity to accept this budget. Let me show you how I came up with this. I can see it's very exciting. I can see people leaving. I would be leaving too if I could.
Jack, is there any way that you could zoom in a little bit? We have a lot of space, and my eyes are not.
Yeah, I understand. This is a little hard to see. Let me go back to my notes. Let me just say that my estimates for the fiscal year, and we're already in the first month of the fiscal year, $600 for rent for La Casa. That's twice a month, $25 a pop for 12 months. Printing and copying, $400. That's basically a carryover from what we have done before. The purchase of service, $6,280. In a moment, I'll show you how I came up with that number. Office supplies. Equipment purchase, that $1,200 is an amount that we are already committed to. That's for the laptop computer and a printer, according to a resolution passed some time ago. $5,000 for grants. That's not a new $5,000. That's the $5,000 for the grants last year, which has not been disbursed and therefore shows up on the FY10 budget. And $120 petty cash, bank charges, other, including website maintenance and mailbox, that sort of thing, $1,400. And I come to a total of about $15,000, which is less than our allotment of $16,000. So it seems to be a reasonable budget, consistent with our allocation for the year.
Jack, may I interrupt?
Please.
It seems to me that it would be good for us to post this on the website or and a link. Let me also explain that Jack agreed that posting on his website would not have any advertisement for Uncle Jack, but look like just another page.
No, exactly. The link from the ANC1D site to my site, the person doing the link would not necessarily realize that they were leaving the ANC1D site.
It would be completely invisible.
Yes.
And I don't know if you have the facilities. I've done so before on some of the tables I posted on the site. I could take your Excel and turn it into a web language so that it would appear to be, or perhaps you can do it. We can work out that because perhaps you could also put the explanation that you're giving now as part of it, and that could be a separate page so that everybody could look at this budget. And before next month.
Yeah. Let me explain my estimate for the services, which is our major cost item. Phil, do you want to? Okay.
In terms of, this is the reading, and then we will approve the budget at the next meeting.
Yes.
If we have changes or modifications that we want to make to the budget, would we debate that then at the next meeting and then have to wait for another term?
No. The budget has to be presented to the public at one meeting and approved at a meeting a month later. But certainly it's free to change in the meantime. This is not necessarily a final form budget.
I intend to weigh in on some of these items, too. So
I would have been surprised if you hadn't.
And let me remind you that the budget is a planning document. It's not defining. We are not tied to this. It's just, are we anticipating our expenses appropriately? Are our anticipated expenses consistent with our allocation? That's all it is. Juan Carlos is raising his hand.
Will the commission permit?
Okay.
Thank you. Again, just for the purpose of learning, when will be the time for the community to have input in this?
If I may answer, it's next month.
Next month.
And the way that we are set up to do it is primarily in the public discussion period. So, for instance, the Latino Association could, with your many members, come in, and each person has 3 minutes to discuss different items.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, because, for example, just as a first of all, Commissioner Jack McKay, thank you for doing this. I know this is it's a tough work to be doing, but thank you for doing it. But for example, we would like to present a proposal that, and I don't know if this is the right place to do it, but when you talk about the posters, for example, perhaps the Latino Association can do that work for one third less of the job of the cost and add translation to it and have a bigger benefit from our back and write and reach more. So things like that, what would be the process to give recommendations? So can we do it ahead of time? If we touch down, who do we do it through?
Yeah. Well, certainly we are all accessible between meetings. I mean, we are all available via email. We are all available in person. The whole month is there for discussion.
Dave? Okay.
Greg? I just need to go briefly over my services estimate here.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Afterwards, may I make an observation? Please continue.
Okay. I just want to finish this off.
Yes.
I estimated $6,280 for services. That's $1,200 for putting up the posters. $520 for Bill Butler. That's basically his current contract to the end of the year, of the calendar year. The staff is general staff assistants. Then I estimated that it would continue at that rate for the first three quarters of the next calendar year. That gives me, so 3 times 520 is 1560. So that's my estimate for the coming year. Legal, $1,800 is what we have budgeted at this point for Rob Waldeck to the end of the year. And then legal for the future, $1,200, that's just an estimate for the coming year.
He's quite good and quite cheap.
Yeah, so that, I think those numbers add up to a reasonable total. I need to add to this, I stopped, and Juan Carlos saw me stop there, is because I realized I have to add to this $100 a month for interpreting services, because I assume that this will continue every month. I will do that. And this, again, this is our estimated budget for the year, which we will publicize, and then the community can comment on it during the coming month.
One question is that since we already had one very quick resolution, let me suggest, and with the commission's permission, that consider a motion that we express satisfaction with the current translation system and that we will continue to do so through the end of this year.
Let me say that I am very grateful for the provision of these interpreting services. I think it's a wonderful service for us to offer to the community, and we're happy to have it facilitated by Juan Carlos and his group and Lorena Mejia. Yes. Yes.
May I take that as a second?
You may take that as a second, and a third, and fourth, yes.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Jack, would you, after we finish, write this down? Let me call for a vote then. All in favor? It's 5-0, unanimous. The second comment I would like to make is a discussion that Juan Carlos and I have had in the last few days, and that is that he, recognizing our small budget, he has suggested that we can work together as individuals to raise money to pay for what may be much more expensive, which is the translation of all of the ANC materials and the posting of them on another site. By originally I was forbidden to make linkages. There were many constraints on the webmaster task. And I'm going to take these votes as being permitting them, and so long as they're publicly discussed. So we could make at least a link to another site or post them depending upon further discussion. So that's going to be expensive. As Gottlieb is being here, let me prevail upon his corrections that ANCs are prohibited from getting $1,000 worth of contributions in one year, but this would be a separate issue because it could be posted separately. Thus, I think it may be legal. I see your brow furrowed. Would you?
Commissions may not solicit nor receive more than $1,000 per year from a single source without council approval, but with it they may.
Good. But the question, before you take it away, does this include in-kind goods or is it only cash?
Cash.
So this would be in-kind and there is no limitation. Right. Just to clarify that. Any comments from Jack?
Well, I have a couple more items on my report.
Sorry.
Minor things. UPS store rental of a mailbox. So we moved the mailbox half a mile closer to be at 14th and Monroe instead of over on Georgia Avenue. So I assume that there is no objection to my writing a check for $420, which will buy us 15 months of mailbox rental.
Seeing no objection, let us consider it as having passed unanimously.
And then, of course, $50 to...
Let me just make sure. Any objection? Okay, so let's consider that as a motion passed unanimously.
And $50 to Senorita Mejia for tonight's interpretation services.
Again, seeing no objection, consider it passed unanimously.
And that concludes my treasurer's report.
Any comment at this time from commissioners? The next item then on the agenda, the open agenda that's suggested is committee reports, the Commercial Corridor Committee. I'll try to keep it brief. We have two other major items coming up before the commission as opportunities for commentary. We're not required to respond to agency plans. The first is that I had a discussion, I think yesterday, with Fred Musale, who is the new director of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, director of of ABRA, the administration. And I reminded him that they've stated that they now intend to adopt a plan, special plan for Mount Pleasant for alcohol. That this plan, first of all, the formulation and procedures by which they would formulate the plan should have been presented to the ANC for consideration. He said that it's too late for them to have done so. They've spent a lot of money, and they do not want to. So he's not going to do that. If you don't like it, swim. He's not going to submit the plan, the process that they've used to arrive at a plan. Next. When I pointed out that apparently he had no plans to present the document to the ANC, he said that that is something that he can do, and that he said that he would send it to me forthwith, and it has not yet arrived. So we will have 30 business days after the point in which it has arrived. I would like to get the backing of the commission for something that I told him that I had no authorization to do, which is that he could submit it to us by email rather than by first class mail. Is there any objection to that? Okay. The second item is the small area plan, which is going to be presented formally tomorrow, I believe, Thursday night. And there, I've not been unable to get from the Office of Planning a promise that they would submit this to us. So that is an open question. Also, there is... I have been unable to get a promise to submit this pursuant to law to the ANC. And thirdly, last night there was a motion to include the Mount Pleasant Transportation Study Plan and recommendations as part of the legislation that will be presented, and it is something that we have not commented on. When I asked Karina Ricks, the associate director, when they were going to do so, she told me that it was never formally adopted by the Department of Transportation, that it was merely a consultant's report, and that until they adopted it, they had no legal requirement to submit it to the ANC. If this is listed as part of the small area plan, then and adopted by that, then suddenly it is on the table and the clock starts, the 30 business day clock starts. So there's other news. Let me just mention it quickly. I understand that the Historic Preservation Office has determined that it is probably in the best interest of the neighborhood to raise the facade of the Deauville. There is a possibility of Blake Biles told me that he is attempting to at least combine the St. Denis and apartment building and the Deauville apartment building into being considered to be a single development, at which point that it would qualify for a planned unit development status, because you can't do a planned unit development apparently with a small building. And at that point, I spoke to Donna Hanasek, who is the planned unit development office specialist at the Office of Zoning, and it appears at that point then in a C2A zone, which is these are, that then the height limit is then put to being 9 stories. But the requirements are that it have a strong social benefits in exchange for the extra density and the inconvenience of the extra density. So it seems to me all of these issues are coming along real soon now, and not only the budget, but we will want to get these items out on the table as soon as possible for people to understand and to comment on. And very likely our next business meeting in November will be our last chance to comment. Phil had a question.
My understanding is that the meeting on Thursday is another public comment period for the small area plan. It is not the presentation of the final report. So I wanted to clear that up.
Good.
I think also, I'm frankly surprised that Blake Biles would tell you that he has undertaken to create a planned unit development.
He said he would like to. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
Because he said here on Monday night that it was something, two Mondays ago, it was something that they were considering as a method to deal with helping residents of the Deauville get back into the building in an affordable way, but that it wasn't his primary tactic. He was trying to do both buildings, the St. Denis and the Deauville, as they stood, and that was a later alternative. So I just wanted to clear up my impression of what he had said two Mondays ago.
If I may respond, quickly, I just tried to cut to the headlines before, because there's an awful lot of details on all of these issues. My understanding, my more detailed report, is not inconsistent with what you said. It is that he has told me that he must operate to assure that something is done on the Deauville and the St. Denis, and even if it is something that would result in very few people in the long term remaining here from the original group, which is his prediction, that we've got to do something to fill in the holes and to add vitality to the neighborhood. So he told me that first, once he has these things pretty clarified, then we can start to talk about how to move to the others. And at that point, he would probably want ANC help to do this. But it's something I think we ought to consider as part of understanding the future of Mount Pleasant Street and our area. Because it may be the last hope we have for the planned unit development approach to being able to offer lower cost housing and thus be able to maintain the economic and ethnic generational diversity. Thanks. Will the commission allow me to recognize a hand? Yes. Please. Here. Gottlieb does. It's legally required that we maintain a record. Would you please stand and give your name?
Sure. My name is Brian Weaver. I'm from ANC 1C and I'm from Morgan. I just actually had a question. Has DCHD and the National Housing Trust actually purchased the property? The last I knew, there hadn't been anything that...
They have closed on the St. Denis.
On St. Denis, but not on the Dover.
I have not heard anything past that a week ago where they had not.
Okay, thank you.
And welcome. Brian is the chair of our neighboring ANC, which is notably larger than ours. Thank you for attending.
Yeah, he's also accompanied by Mindy Moretti from 1C.
Ah, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Commissioner Moretti. Would the commissioner allow me to recognize them for a few minutes to talk with us about? Okay. We have, rather than stealing ideas, I'm not sure we have much to offer, but can you, would you please talk to us about what's going on in your ANC, and especially places where we could collaborate?
But briefly, Greg.
Briefly.
It's 8:30.
Yes.
And we have yet to take up a single resolution.
Yes.
No, I think that just... I think the concern that we have is the St. Denis and the Deauville are have been owned by the same property company that we've had problems with, NWJ Properties in the community. And I think we're sort of looking for a pathway to replicate what's happened at the St. Denis to try to get those buildings out of the hands of you know, the last holding of NWJ in the city. And so we've been interested in what's happened here with the National Housing Trust. And so I've been following that greatly, and I'm glad that was mentioned tonight. If we're at the point where everybody's talking about PUDs and building up and what you'd look at that way, I was wondering if there had been a purchase of the property, which I would think would be great news.
So, Mindy? Commissioner Moretti, excuse me. We use first names here. Okay. You mentioned, Brian, and I know that I've gotten signals to not draw this out, that you've had some problems with that. I heard that your commission spent a good deal of money on legal assistance and with that. Okay. Can you give us Could you give us a figure?
Quickly, I mean, there was no tenant association, and so our ANC, essentially, we were afraid that there was going to be a push out of the tenant of that building, and so we organized the tenants to form an official tenant association. The property had serious problems with it, drug dealing taking place in the building. They removed the doors to the front of the building so anyone could come and sleep there in the middle of the night. After organizing the tenant association, we had asked for help from the city. The city never came with any sort of help, and so the tenants and the ANC funded a cleanup of the building. We painted the building. We replaced windows. We replaced doors. And to that end, NWJ sued our ANC for destruction of property. So coats of paint and replacement of broken out windows was deemed destruction of property. Eventually, the Attorney General actually did come and say that the ANC could be defended by the Attorney General's office. And so we up front had to pay a lot of fees there, but it was money well spent.
Okay, thank you. Are we ready to move on to the business, the resolutions?
Let's consider our next meetings. That would be the next item of business.
I would like to suggest that we have public discussion at the meeting of some of the issues that I mentioned that are coming up that are of great interest, I think, which is the small area plan, the transportation plan.
You're speaking of a November 3rd informal meeting.
Yes.
Are you volunteering to organize this informal meeting?
Yes, I suppose. I would like to hear from people that would like to work together on this. So I move that we consider those three items plus others arising for the November 3rd meeting. Is there a second?
What was the third item?
The three are small area plan, the alcohol plan, and the transportation plan. Are there any other items that people think ought to be added to that? Phil?
For one, we'll serve notice at this time that I will not be attending that meeting. I'll be out of town on business. However, I think that it would be better for the commission to not set an agenda for the informal meeting. I think it would be good to have an open discussion forum. I think the last several public meetings or informal meetings that we've had have ended up being business meetings that have been basically in this format, which is pretty difficult to have an open exchange of ideas. I know from my first couple months as a commissioner, we had a more open and freewheeling format in which we would sit around in a circle, and I think that would be much better, and I think that this would be a good opportunity for the community to drive the agenda rather than us placing placing a form on a discussion prior to that date.
Let me respond briefly and say perhaps then I'm sympathetic to your points, but I think we might well notify our neighbors that these are three major issues that are coming up for a decision, and not say that these are the agenda of it, but these are items that may attract attention. Any, Oliver?
Regarding both the November 3rd informal meeting and November 17th, I will not attend those meetings because I will be out of the country. Yeah.
No. And Dave, comment?
Yeah, I think we can just list those as active items and tell the community they can talk about whatever they want.
Okay. Jack?
I agree. I'm not happy with
these informal meetings becoming business meetings, so I will do my best not to have anything that needs to be done. Things happen, such as this issue today of the liquor license transfer. Sometimes things do have to be dealt with right away, but I will do my best to avoid that. I agree with the philosophy of keeping it informal.
So, may I take it at the state, and if there are no objections, assume that it's unanimous consent, that we will have, that Wendy will have an informal meeting on the 3rd of November?
I would like to add that informal, coming with Phil's idea, we should go back to sitting in a circle. And we don't need electronics except for translation, except for interpretation.
Well, we're required to record.
No, it's not a business meeting. We're not required to record anything except resolutions.
He's
That's
correct.
For sure. You can ask Gottlieb.
If we're not transacting official business, then it doesn't have to be transcribed.
But so we'll record
it is a complication. It is a complication because if we're going to do the interpretation, then it requires the audio system to be set up.
No, it doesn't.
So
because
they
it's self-contained.
Well, but they need the sound from the loudspeakers. I don't think they could. No? Then,
okay. So let me summarize that towards the point of unanimous consent. One, meeting on the 3rd of November. Two, the format is informal and in a circle. And number three, that although people can legally record it if they wish, that the electronic equipment will be for only the translation, which means no projectors and the like. Okay. Hearing no further objection, I'll consider the chair considers this as having passed unanimously. Okay. Now,
I propose that we take up at this time the matter of the Super Save Market liquor license could transfer because that's
not
the immediate issue.
Is there any objection to doing so? Seeing none. Jack, would you please read the resolution?
Supporting the transfer of the Super Save Market Class B liquor license to El Progreso International Market. Resolved that ANC Wendy advises the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board to approve the transfer of the existing beer and wine sales license, ABRA 076894, from Super Save Market, 3162 Mount Pleasant Street Northwest, to El Progreso International Market, 3158 Mount Pleasant Street Northwest, and further to approve a stipulated license pending final approval of the revised license.
So you've struck that misinformed adjacent retail.
I think I would be correct.
Okay.
May I read the why, because it's brief?
Okay.
El Progreso has been a good neighbor, and its record promises a safe and well-run store and disciplined use of the beer and wine license. They promise to work with this ANC to adapt its recommended cooperative agreement process by which it can work with the Mount Pleasant neighborhood to improve conditions on its commercial corridor.
Okay. Discussion. Oliver seconds. So discussion period. Phil.
This is. Are we stipulating which type of license this is? This is Class B.
That is what the current. That is current license.
Okay. The only question that I have for the business is why are you transferring the license as opposed to applying for a new license?
Board is not approving the issuance of new licenses. They are approving the transfers.
Is that a calendar issue? I mean, why are they not approving new licenses?
They say that there's a moratorium for Mount Pleasant and can limit, yes. And the only way that they can facilitate the business is to be able to sell alcoholic beverages is to transfer one license from one store to another, but not acquiring a new one.
Okay, I mean, let me be clear. I support this transfer. I think it's fine. I'm glad someone can make use of the license, and I'm glad it's a business that is healthy and one that I've used many times. I will say, though, that I think that it is bad for our neighborhood to have a moratorium on new licenses. I know that this is an attractive area. It's a fun area, and we should be able to attract entrepreneurs that would like to open up restaurants and businesses and stores. I knew that there was a moratorium on single sales that had been put into place rather ill-advisedly, I think, by the city council. And I'm upset to find out that there is a moratorium on any type of license in Mount Pleasant. But I do support this, and I will vote for it.
Oliver.
Are there standard procedures of license transfer?
Yes.
Yes. Is he required to meet those standard procedures before?
Yes, we do. They're pretty rigorous. We don't need to intervene in that. Jack, is that your hand?
There are lots of hands. I was not aware that there was a moratorium on
nor was
liquor license here.
Let me say that, if I may take my turn, that if you, Phil, if you looked into this and drafted a resolution, I would likely support a resolution for in our next meeting. I think it's a good point, and I'm glad you're interested.
I think we should all applaud.
Please, no invidious comparisons. I could start doing it too, Phil, and I have resisted.
A quick thing?
Yes.
Just to let know that this issue came out yesterday, and the Latino Association is committed to investigate more about this moratorium. So, Phil, if it's okay, we can join forces to investigate about this. I sympathize with the fact that we should investigate and then take action upon that.
Good. The chair recognizes the chair of the Adams Morgan ANC.
Now we're going to charge it five.
I apologize. So two things. One, I believe it's not a moratorium; it's a cap on new B licenses throughout the city right now. Mm. It has nothing to do with a moratorium. So they didn't sneak a moratorium in on you. There's a cap on new B licenses. I believe it's B's and A's. And the second part to that is a transfer of a license is not a if it's within the city, it's not a protestable. A transfer of a license isn't a protest. So if they don't have it, there's no legal reason why they can't receive a transfer. It's not something that an ANC or a civic association would be able to protest.
Let me say that Chair Weaver was down at the ABRA board hearings almost every time I've ever been, so I think he's pretty much of an expert on these things.
I move the vote on this issue.
Okay. Seeing no objection, I'd like to see hands all in favor. It's 5-0. May I suggest as our next piece, since we're with something that was that has been around for a while, which is the posting places. May I ask one of my commissioners, since my voice is going to read this, if it's all.
I had thought we had already done this last time.
No.
But we missed it.
No, we missed it. Would you be willing to read it? Okay.
Secretary will read the resolution. Posting places. Resolved, ANC Wendy allocates $1,400 to erect a bulletin board in Levant Park and four other substantial places in the overlap of the four SMDs
with Mount Pleasant Street Commercial Corridor between Harbor Street and Park Road. It will be the policy of 1D to post 25 notices of meetings, one on the Lamont Park posting place, three in the other Mount Pleasant Street posting places, three other places for the four SMDs overlapping Mount Pleasant Street, and four each for the other two SMDs. Why? Regular and prominent posting places will help assure residents are notified of ANC meetings. We have heard from many sectors of the community who want improved notification of ANC meetings, topics, and potential impacts.
Discussion?
Do you have a second?
Oh, sorry. I will. Okay. Dave.
Who do we have to go to get permits to do this on public property?
DPR for Lamont Park, and I have spoken to some of the merchants, and I think several of them would be willing to allow us to erect devices on their walls. They did have, there's a good deal of wall space where we once had a lot of pay telephones. Oliver.
Do we know how much each bulletin board costs? What's the estimated price?
Not yet, if I may answer. This was part of a discussion that I had with Juan Carlos. And if you would like to, I mean, you're the source of...
Hello? Okay, so the intention of this is to strengthen the communication between the NC and the community, right? And the other component that I don't see here, and I don't know if we would like to suggest this is a place also where you can post community events and community meetings and stuff like that. What the association can commit to do is to present perhaps in the next meeting in November, the first meeting in November meeting, a couple of plans about how they will look, and check also with Faye and do something that fit within the budget of the $1,400.
Dave.
Well, then I would suggest that we add at the bottom there community events and meetings besides the ANC, so that these are not seen as ANC only bulletin boards.
That was the original intent. We passed an earlier resolution authorizing 24 of these, and that was, but we never authorized the money. And let me say that I was hoping that we could just move forward very rapidly with this and have it done, if possible, by November 3rd.
I can shoot for that. Everything is possible with a little bit of...
Phil.
I'm sorry that for one, $1,400 is a lot of money, particularly when we only have what is projected to be roughly $1,000 of play in our budget for next year. Secondly, I haven't seen pictures or any kind of example, and it's totally unclear to me as to whether we would be able to erect a bulletin board in Lamont Park. So I move to table this resolution until we can discuss a more concrete proposal for bulletin boards. I do take note that we already do post notice of our meetings as we are legally required throughout the neighborhood. And while I'm not opposed to the idea of having more prominent postings and more extensive public postings of our agenda and our work, I do want to make sure that we go about this in the correct way. And it seems that, in my estimation, that we need to gather more facts before we authorize a budget. $1,400, I imagine, in my own mind, that I'd perfectly happy to see evidence to the contrary, would not erect a bulletin board of much substance that would be able to withstand the elements for a good period. So if the Latino Association would be willing to present a proposal for different types of bulletin boards that we could look at, and we could further investigate with the Department of Parks and Recs whether we'd be able to do it. I think that would be better if we were to have that in a more fully qualified resolution at our next business meeting.
Can I just punch you? The chair recognizes that there was a motion to table embedded in that discussion.
And I second the motion to table.
Okay, so there's a second, and this takes precedent over over other discussion. So is there discussion on the motion to table? Jack?
Yeah, I agree with Phil. I mean, this is admirable in intent, but I think there are a lot of questions about putting up bulletin boards. What permits are required? Where would these be put besides the one in Lamont Park? I think we need to resolve these uncertainties, and how much they would cost. We need to resolve these uncertainties and be more specific about this before we proceed with this resolution.
Oliver.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with what Young McCain is saying. For a simple reason that at this particular point, we don't know how much each is going to cost. So if we approve this amount and then tomorrow found that the amount is a little bit higher than this, then we have to also pass another resolution to approve some money. I think we have to find out exactly how much each bulletin board would cost, and then from there we can move.
Okay. Dave, did you have a further comment?
Only that this will probably be the primary mode of communication for most of Mount Pleasant. But yes, we should know what we're doing before we just run out and do it.
Community comments?
With Commission's permission, I will recognize Juan Carlos.
At the beginning, we can always work with principles and write them with intentions. And we are trying to strengthen the trust between the Latino community and the ANC and the community as a whole, and trying to reshape and strengthen the way we were doing business here. I believe that one of the things that we are working very hard is improving communications, channeling information, working together and all that good stuff. The other piece here, the element is, I think the principle here is to allocate a budget, right? And allocate a budget. So this is the much money we are willing to spend to strengthen communications within the community. And in there, we can have other postings. But if we have a budget, we can say, okay, the Latino Association is volunteering time and efforts to say, okay, and knowing that stuff, we already talked to the director of the Parks and Recreations, and they are more than happy to do it. The Latino Association is in the process to adapt the park, the Lamont Park. So we are strategically moving into being part of the solutions. So I think as allocating $1,400 now and perhaps open to discussions, and that's what I was suggesting, that open to discussions and present some models in the next meeting in November 3rd, or whatever the day is. Then you have in the next business meeting, you can approve the design and the location where it's going to be developed. But I think we should at least put the money in. Okay, we want to work with you. This is the limit that we are willing to invest and work from there.
If I may take my, usually the chair speaks last on these things. First, we have many tens of thousands of dollars in the bank that we typically use as for capital investment. And the erection of these boards, I think, is capital investment. So it doesn't come out of our operating budget, is the way that we've thought of budgets before. I would suggest a I would like to make see if this is a friendly amendment, that we keep this and say that the intent is to authorize the Commercial Quarter Committee and the Latino Association to work together to fill out this with this as the general goals, and to, if necessary, suggest alternatives with a report back on the 3rd of November. Would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
The motion to table takes precedence. The motion to table is on the floor.
Oh, I, okay. But you can, it does not allow...
You've offered a motion to amend, but that goes back to the main motion. I think we have to deal with the motion to table before we go back to the main
okay.
motion.
Okay. Let me just say that I hope that it will not be tabled so that we can consider and authorize progress, because I, too, believe that we need to develop trust, and we also are losing a lot of time for people that don't have a chance to see things, and that cost is quite high for us to lose momentum. So I announce that I will vote against this motion to table. Phil?
There's a hand in the audience that okay. I'd like the commission to recognize him.
With the commission's permission? Okay. DJ?
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? Most of you know who I am, but for you guys that don't, I'm DJ Guanaco at 97.5 FM. Every weekend I'm on air from 7 until Saturdays until Sunday 7 p.m. Wow. And I totally agree with the proposal that Luis has. Definitely, I mean, it's a great idea, and I would like to offer you guys my service, my help too, because I mean, for example, I was hearing all the cases of tickets. I mean, and the amount of the ones that I hear on live on air, this is nothing, like nothing, like the amount. And then with what I do, I get to hear not only this case, it's like back and forth. I mean, I have a source of answers and propositions. So my point is that I would like to help out on the exchange of information with the community directly, you know what I mean, like in a faster manner, as sometimes as it is happening. You know, so that's what I would like to say.
Okay. Let me also say that that probably if we could get authorization to move forward, we could more quickly look into raising extra money to do this. I think many of the merchants and others in the neighborhood would be interested in supporting this kind of increased visibility and vitality on the street. Dave had...
Yeah, I would like to thank DJ Bonaco for his help, his suggestion that we can use his services to hear what the community is doing, if he could make reports to us, and he can also announce ANC events on the radio.
Jack, did I see your hand?
I think we are all in agreement with the intent of this resolution. We are simply unhappy with the uncertainty of it. We have no idea how much it's going to cost. We have no idea where these other bulletin boards would go. We just don't know enough. We're perfectly happy to proceed with this, and if we come up with a better plan and have a better idea of how much it's going to cost, we can proceed at that point.
Okay.
Greg, if you don't mind, you can continue reading. I'll make comments.
No, it's fine. I've seen what I wanted to.
Okay.
And what our rules of order say is that a motion to postpone, we don't use the to table, but to postpone, cannot be amended. So I thank Jack for that correction.
Yeah, I mean, certainly many people in this neighborhood and on this commission take it upon themselves to do many things without prior authorization. So I see no reason why we need to pass this resolution in order to move forward with a plan to create a bulletin board. So again, this goes to doing things the right way. It's making sure that the how is taken care of before the if. There are too many questions in the past months that have come down to if and not how, And I definitely want the how to be answered in this resolution if we're going to pass it. So, yes, I call for a vote.
All in favor of the motion to table, or to postpone, rather. Excuse me. I see three votes in favor. All those opposed? So the motion to postpone is carries 3-2. I do observe that this is the second month that it's been on our list of resolutions. It's now 9 o'clock.
Now here's the list of topics. Is there anything on this list that really has to be dealt with tonight, or can we go home?
So I will take that as a motion to adjourn.
Second motion to adjourn.
There's a second. There's no discussion on a motion to adjourn. So all in favor of adjournment? It's 5-0. The session of ANC 1D for October is adjourned at 8:59. Thank you.